invite up this morning? Thank you. You're always so good. You can open up in your Bibles to Joshua 18 as I'm typing this in here. Joshua chapter 18. So please stand as we read the Lord's word together. Joshua 18. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves three men from each tribe, that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me, and they shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. And you shall describe the land in seven divisions, and bring the description here to me, and I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, "Go and walk through the land and describe it and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from the Jordan. Then the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north, and went up through the hill country westward. And it ended at the wilderness of Beth-Aven. And from there the border continued to Luz, to the side of Luz, that is Bethel, southward. And the border went down to Adaroth-Adar, near the hill which lies on the south of lower Beth-horon. And the border extended from there and turned round on the west side southward from the hill which lies before Beth-horon southward. And it ended at Kirith-Baal, that is Kirith-Jearim, a city of the sons of Judah. Which this was the west side. Then the south side was from the edge of Kirith-Jearim, and the border went westward and went to the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah. And the border went down to the edge of the hill, which is in the valley of Beth-Hinnom, which is in the valley of Rephaim, northward. And it went down to the valley of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite, southward, and went on to En-Rogel. And it extended northward, and went to En-Shemesh, and went to Gilaloth, which is opposite the ascent of Adunam. And it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And it continued to the side in front of the Arabah, northward, and went down to the Arabah. And the border continued to the side of Beth-Hogla, northward. And the border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of the Jordan. This was the south border. Moreover, the Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin according to their families and according to its borders all around. Now the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin according to their families were Jericho and Beth Hogla and Emek Kezeth and Beth Araba and Zemaram and Bethel and Avam and Perah and Ophrah and Sephar Ammoni and Ophni and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah and Beeroth and Mizpeth and Shepharoth and Mozah and Rechem and Irpil and Terelah and Zelah and Haleph and the Jebusite, that is Jerusalem, Geba, Kirith, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin according to their families. Thus reads the word of God, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is Joshua 18, 2 and 3. And there remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?" This morning's reading gives a little pause of consideration in the conquering of the promised land by the children of Israel. We would have thought that this second generation of Israelites would have been chomping at the bit to get into the land and to claim their inheritance as so promised by the Lord. They had spent the previous 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now the promised land, overflowing with all the resources that they could ever desire, was theirs to inhabit. This was, after all, the generation who was willing to set forth into the land with the determination to get all that was to be theirs. They were prepared to march forth with God going before them, trusting in Him to break down all the walls of the inhabitants' defenses, just like that Jericho. But that was not the case. It seemed that they were merely creeping into the land, little by little, tribe by tribe. And now these last 7 tribes were mired at Shiloh. The elderly leader, Joshua, had to prod them to continue into the land to gain that which was to be theirs. We have these 7 tribes who were seemingly just encamped and doing nothing in any attempt to follow through with the command of the Lord to enter boldly into the land. They were supposed to utterly dispossess these vile inhabitants who had been placeholders until the children of Israel were ready to march and to inherit that which was given to them. The Lord had made it extremely evident to them that He would not be clearing out the Canaanites quickly, because those Canaanites would be a hedge against the wild beasts of the land. But still, they were to make forward process, or march forward into the land and make that happen. The Lord God would be the one who would go before them as they proceeded into each territory as He had delineated, and that the Lord would be the one who would destroy those vile nations who were there. We have this declaration detailed in Deuteronomy 7, 21 through 24. Deuteronomy 7, 21 through 24. "You shall not dread them, For the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you, little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, so that you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. However, even though it was not going to be a quick process, it was still to be a process. It was required that the tribes moved forward in obedience to the Lord. They were not to go ahead of him, but neither were they to disregard him and just sit around the encampment with no forward motion in their midst. They were to seek the time and the means and the methodology of their obedient entrance into the land with the glory of the Lord as their motivation and as their goal. That was the situation that Joshua was encountering. The seven remaining tribes who had not yet received their inheritance were simply milling around, expecting the Lord to clear out those in the land at some point without their participation and obedience. They were like many of us who do nothing more than state that the Lord will provide without proceeding forth in our following His direction and His guidance in obedience unto Him. As we do move forward, we do so with the faith that knows that He will be the one who receives all the glory for His so great work. As well, there may be those times when we just refuse to do what the Lord requires of us because we don't want to do them. We are afraid, or we are uncertain, or we're simply not willing to do that which the Lord has set before us to do. We would rather that the Lord just plop something into our hands than do the work that He requires for the reward of His satisfaction in our obedience and our honoring Him. We cannot just sit around and expect Him to give us our food and clothing and place of rest and peace from all the elements of this age without our active participation in the work that He sets before us. Yes, absolutely. We are never to try to take any matter into our own hands, because the Lord will never honor that. At the same time, there is that focal aspect of rising up from our beds and taking our cross and following Him, as we are so encouraged by the Lord Himself. When He healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5:8, it required that the man actually get up and walk. John 5:8, Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." He was not just to continue to lie there, even though the Lord had healed him. There is an action of faith in obedience, which is absolutely and fully in line with the instructions that we receive from the Lord. Then, for emphasis at this point, consider the truth that is laid before us in Luke 9:23. Excuse me. Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We are to pick up our cross of self-denial and follow him daily. Not every other day. Not only when we feel like it. Not just when the moon is correctly aligned with Jupiter or any other excuses that we might put forth. We are to walk with him every day. We go where he guides. We converse with those whom he brings into our presence. We honor him and we completely deny ourselves. This is action, obedient and holy action, in the course of our entering into his land of promise for each one of us. That was what the remaining tribes needed to do. In Judges 18, 9 and 10, we read of the reports brought back by the men who were given this task of entering into the land and describing the portions to each of the remaining tribes. They declared their findings to the rest of the people concerning the wonderful condition of their inheritance, which is much like that when the first spies were sent forth into the land for that first generation. This was the report and the emphasis of that second group of spies. Judges 18, 9 and 10. And they said, "Arise and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you sit still? Do not delay to go, to enter, to possess the land. When you enter, you shall come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." The echoed proclamation, "Arise and let us go up against them, and will you sit still? Do not delay to go in, to enter, to possess the land." Don't just sit here in idle expectation. Follow through with that which the Lord has said we are to do and enter in. Count on the Lord, absolutely. But still, we have to enter in. We have to go in because that is what the Lord has instructed us to do. He has told us with complete clarity that we need to arise and to enter because God has given it to us. We will conquer because he goes before us. He is leading us. Absolutely take note of a tremendous difference at this call to action. We are not trying to drag him into our desires. We are not tacking his name on our cravings and our lusts. We are following and we are flowing with the course of his will to his honor and his glory as he has detailed in his marching orders to us. That necessitates that we stand up, that we gird ourselves with all the armor that He has given us, and that we proceed as He details and as He establishes. It is never our way and our ideas and our goals. It is always fully in line with His glory alone. When He commands march, we march. When He commands stop and stand and be on guard, we do so. Only as He leads, when He leads, and where He leads. He alone is our Lord and our King, and we flow forth under His banner to His glory, whatever will be the course of our walk with Him. And it is a walk, a fluid and progressive and controlled forward movement into a greater knowledge and understanding and appreciation of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. He directs the every step that we take, and He causes us to progress in line with His instruction by the Holy Spirit. He directs us always onward into the greater measure of our life in Him. That is why we cannot just sit around and think that our lives are pleasing to Him. We must seek Him and His will for us, and then we must actively obey, even when that active obedience is to wait for His guidance and for His direction. That waiting is not just sitting and watching TV or playing video games with a slothful attitude that soon the Lord will knock on our door and give us a fast food sandwich. No, it is an active waiting in intense prayer, asking the Lord to direct our every footstep. It is pouring through His Word and studying and feasting upon His spiritual food through the provision of the Holy Spirit. As we do so, we will gain further understanding and insight into the plan that God has set forth. It is calling out to God in the midst of the night watches, seeking for Him to let us know what we need to do and when we need to do it. It is being prepared to march at a moment's notice into the deepest and darkest and harshest fray, carrying that cross of Christ into the fiercest pits of depression and despair and despondency for the sake of those who are in such dire need. As we're told by the Lord in Proverbs 2, 1 through 8, we need to learn of His ways. We need to ask Him to be our wisdom for the course of each day. Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. This requires us to give ourselves to His hand of instruction. We need to set our hearts on the hard work that is required to so come into the knowledge of His heart of love to us. That necessitates that we apply ourselves in study and in practice with every fiber of our being. Again, consider what we're encouraged to do in Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. As well, the encouragement for us to work with all our heart to know the Lord is set before us in Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. Our physical bodies are suffering decay, as we well understand. But there is a glory in the Lord in absolutely giving every fiber of our being unto the task that He sets before us. Whether that is a job, or maintaining a home, or teaching our young, or prayer, or reading the Word, or worship, we are to do it all as unto the Lord with all our might and all our strength and all our ability. Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. Go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which He has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life, and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. The prophet in Zephaniah 3, 15 through 20 gives illumination to the manner in which the Lord has dealt with us in Christ. This was generations before the gift of God's only begotten Son. However, the work that He would accomplish for you and for me was already declared and proclaimed by those who were such witnesses and diligent seekers after all that God would have. Zephaniah 3, 15 through 20. The Lord has taken away His judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, "Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feast. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. We are no longer to be afraid and living in fear. But at the same time, we are not to be complacent or idle. We are not to let our hands fall limp, but are to be diligent in the work that the Lord sets before us. We are to follow through with all our energy for the sake of His testimony in His people. We need to keep our eyes on the fact that we are to so honor God in whatever task He gives us to do, no matter what the timing that He deems best for that work to be accomplished. So be it. And there remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?" Amen. And the Lord bless all of us.